presence. We just love worshiping you. We love giving thanks. And Lord, we pray now for a sense of your presence on the rest of the service and what we're about to do. Lord, we need you. Holy Ghost. Everyone said amen. Okay, well, you know, while we're on that theme, traditionally we actually have very few people on a Queen's birthday week. This is too bad, actually, for a Queen's birthday weekend. But I don't know, people tend to go away, you know, have a holiday, and that's fair enough. So I thought we'd just do things a little bit differently. But that half glass, half empty, half full thing, Jesus told his disciples that he was going to go to Jerusalem and he was going to die, going to be crucified and then resurrected after 3 days. And it's interesting because the disciples said, oh, well, let's go to Jerusalem and die with him. And then Jesus said a very unusual thing. He turned to them and he said, are there not 12 hours in the day? Now, have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about what on earth was he talking about? He says, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to die. And that's pretty depressing, let's admit, especially the way he was talking about dying. And he said, but then I'm going to rise again on the third day. And they said, oh, let's all go and die with him. And I don't think they had in mind rising again from the dead. I think that bit just kind of, they lost that bit. See, we're so geared to the negative. All they could hear was death. They never heard the life in his statement. All they heard was the death. That's why he said to them, aren't there 12 hours in the day? In other words, yeah, there's 12 hours in the night, but aren't there 12 hours in the day? And what are you going to look at, the darkness or the light? In other words, get a life, guys. Get a life. Turn to the person next to you and say, get a life. Forget not all his benefits. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about thankfulness and about renewing the mind. The children of Israel, they all perished in the wilderness. God promised them a promised land. Oh, and man, the way he described it, it was just awesome. But they never made it. Only two people made it. Caleb and who? And Joshua, the other fella, yeah. Two out of what? 2.5 million. Boy, tell you what, God hasn't got a very good success rate. You know, he might not be doing too good, but I bet it's better than 2 out of 2.5 million. Hey, I met a teacher at school on Friday. She applied for 160 jobs before she got the one at Avondale College. Yeah, that's not a very good. Not a very good hit rate. No, I could have told her the story about when I applied for my job, fresh out of teachers' college. I applied for 5 jobs because I didn't know which one to accept. So I said, "Well, Lord, the one that I get is the one that you meant me to have," and I got all 5 of them. So I didn't know what to do then, and I just kind of, well, but God's there for you. You only need one. You don't need 5. But I guess what I'm saying is, you know, you might not get the job you applied for, and that's okay, because God's got something else. I've been in situations where I've applied, I've tried different things, and it hasn't worked out. And that's okay. Failure's okay. The sister, whatever her name is in The Sound of Music, says when God closes a door somewhere, he always opens a window somewhere else. So there's an answer. But the children of Israel, they forgot his benefits. They got sick of the manna that came down every day. They start taking it for granted. And sometimes we can start taking things for granted. We can start taking this church for granted. We can start taking one another for granted. Husbands and wives can start taking each other for granted. You know, we've got to be a good steward of that which God... It just came to me by the Spirit. That's worth writing down. We've got to be a good steward of that which God gives us. And the way we become a good steward of that which God gives us is by giving thanks. Anybody can see the 12 hours in the nighttime. Anybody can do that. It takes people of faith to see that the glass is half full and not half empty. Well, where is everybody this morning? Well, I don't know, but that's okay. I'm looking at the slot. It's great that you came this morning. That's fantastic. Hey, it's amazing that anyone showed up. Really? I mean, I'm preaching this morning. That's really awesome. Thank you. The glass is half full. And I'm not looking at the people who aren't here. I'm looking at the people who are. And that thrills me. Gosh. Somebody showed up. That's fantastic. And what a time of worship we had this morning. And what fantastic testimonies we had, hearing about the faithfulness of our God. So being a good steward of what he's given us is to say, God, that is so good. I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. Focusing on it, focusing on the positive, and giving thanks for it. The children of Israel made the mistake of only seeing the dirt. They didn't see the manna that fell on it. Which is blooming incredible. You think about it. 40 years in the wilderness. And it was their own silly fault that they weren't in the promised land. Because their unbelief, they didn't get in. They said all I saw was the giants. And any promise that God gives you is going to have a giant attached to it. And your faith has got to be able to say, get behind me, Satan, or I rebuke you, or greater is he who's in me than he that's in that problem. Anything you do is going to have a problem. And how you respond to it is going to determine whether you get to the promised land or not. If you just look at the problems all the time, instead of seeing the promise that goes with it, then you magnify what you focus on. So if you just see your Goliaths and that's all you see, if you're going to see Goliath, see him with his head off, all right? See the positive thing, not the negative thing. But the problem with the children of Israel was their rebellion in the desert, which is why they all perished in the desert, because they rebelled against God in the end. It was born out of a lack of gratitude. Now, we took that very seriously in our kids when we were raising our kids. If we started to sense that they were becoming ungrateful or didn't have an appreciation for what we provided for them or, you know, where they were going, what they're doing, we very quickly corrected that, because that might not seem like a big thing, but it's where it ends up. You're only going to be 1 degree off when you start leaving a harbour. And, you know, it soon becomes hundreds of miles. And so their lack of appreciation for what they had, the manna, the fact that God was leading them by a pillar of fire at night, they weren't out there on their own. They weren't being led, you know, they had water to drink. Moses just had to speak to the rock and the water came out. They had everything they needed, actually, and their clothes didn't wear out. They had everything they needed. God was still looking after them. Even in their rebellion, he was still looking after them. But he couldn't let them go into the promised land because the giants would slay them all. It wasn't punishment. It was God's mercy. It was his grace. He still loved his people. But he couldn't let them in because it would destroy them. And sometimes God can't bless you. God couldn't give you wealth. It'd kill you. You'd think you didn't need God then. And you'd just end up doing stupid stuff. And he's not going to bless you if it means he misses out on the most important thing in life, which is having his kids. So their lack of appreciation for what they had, that, you know, they became disgruntled. And sometimes we can get disgruntled, you know, and that's something, it's like that's a thermometer. We should be reading that, saying, hey, what's going on here? This is not right. Something's not right here if I'm disgruntled. Paul was in prison, his feet in chains, and he was worshiping God. I'll just throw that in there for you happy people. And then it wasn't long and their disgruntledness became expressed as complaining and fault-finding. And that led to outright rebellion. And it all just started from not being happy. It all just started from not having an appreciation. It all started from not stewarding what God had given them. And that's just a new thought for me, so I hope you wrote that down, honey. We steward what God has given us with thankfulness. And thankfulness has nothing to do with what you've got. Have you ever seen the programs on TV where they talk about these poor people in the villages, you know, and they've just been hit by a tornado and they got nothing. They haven't even got drinking water. They haven't got a roof over their head. They've got no drinking water. They don't know where their next meal is coming from. And you look at the kids outside playing in the puddles and they're all, you know, they're bouncing some coconut around as a ball and they're as happy as Lark, happy as Larry. And then you take a snapshot of someone, 20th century society, you know, Western society in New Zealand, lovely big house, husband and wife on the verge of divorce, kids are on drugs, got everything they need except happiness. It's got nothing to do with your stuff. It's got everything to do with the posturing of your heart. And these kids have got nothing, but they're thankful that they weren't killed in the tornado. They're thankful that the sun came out after the rain. I don't know how they do it, but it seems the more we get, the more miserable we are. Isn't that true? We are not any happier. The more stuff we get, the more problems, the more things we have to worry about. It has a lot to do with how we see our world. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to split up into groups of three or four, and we're going to do two things. We are going to talk about, just for 2 minutes, what have we got as a country that we should be very grateful for? Because this is the most amazing country in the whole world. I defy anybody to convince me otherwise. This is it. You are living in paradise. And there's not everything. That's the way we want it to be. There are some things that could be better. But show me another country that's got what we've got. You add it all up. Well, I mean, that's open for debate, but I want you to think about the half of the glass that's full this morning instead of the half that's empty. So think about and talk about some of the things that this country's got for which we are extremely grateful, and let's be stewards of our citizenship of this country and say, God, thank you. Yes? And then secondly, and then you've got another 2 minutes to do this, tell someone as an individual what you've got that you're very grateful for. Okay, so two things. What are we grateful for as a country? And two, what are we grateful for as individuals? I'll give you 5 minutes. Okay, everybody back. That's all good. I know you wanted to keep talking, but that's it. 5 minutes is all you get to give thanks. Alrighty, find your seat again, everybody. Turn your chairs around. We carry on. Sorry to break it up. You're having so much fun. Hey, wasn't that good? Does that reflect your normal conversation during the day? Is that what your normal conversation sounds like? Not often enough. There's a true word spoken. You know, what's the first thing you get when you go to work on Monday morning or whatever, Tuesday morning? You know, is the first word that comes out of a co-worker's mouth going to be praiseworthy? Is it going to be something positive, or do you think they're going to be moaning about something? What do you think? What's the chances it's going to be something negative? You know, if it's about the weather, it'll be about, oh, gee, useless weather we're having at the moment. You know what I say? I say, thank God for the rain. That's what makes this country so beautiful and green. It's got to rain sometime. You know, what, do you want to live in a desert? Do you want to live in Las Vegas or, you know, in the middle of Australia? Thank God for the rain. I love the rain. Woohoo, it's raining today. Whoopee, lovely green grass. Lovely bush. Beautiful flowers come out in the sunshine after the rain. Yeah, okay, so, you know, let's be proactive with our speech, because there's a difference between the world and believers, is that believers are supposed to be continually, the Bible says, continually giving thanks. Continually, the word says. Not every once in a while, not when things are going well. When you're sitting on a concrete floor with rats running over your chained legs, you give thanks. Paul is the model of what it means to give thanks in all things. Not for everything, but in everything, we give thanks. Why? Because we have to be stewards of what we've got before we'll get any more. It won't get any better by complaining. That is the worship of hell. That's the language of hell. That's worship from hell. Did you see what he did? No, it's not doing that. No, where is this? That's the worship language of hell. And you cannot have pure water and salt water coming out of the same spring. It's not possible. So you're either a child of heaven or you're a child of hell. At that moment, you are giving worship from hell or you're giving worship from heaven. Now, those are strong words, aren't they? I'm a very black and white kind of a preacher. My wife will probably correct me on the way home. But I said that to shock you, to make you realize that our language should be pure and should be from heaven. We're believers and we're grateful, we're thankful. And we want the promised land. We don't want to stay in the desert any longer. One thing I can promise you, you will go round and round and round and round that mountain if you don't change your mouth. There's only one way out of the desert into the promised land, and that's to start giving thanks for what's coming, not for what you got. It's a Woody Woodpecker laugh. That's the language of heaven. Laughter is the language of heaven. I get to school in the morning and I step into the science staff room and I say, "Hello, beautiful people. How are you all doing today? It's going to be an awesome day today. I have it on good authority. Today's going to be a fantastic day." And they love it because it's just because I'm genuine. And it changes the atmosphere. It just brightens the day. And I say, "How are you doing, Ray?" I say, "I'm awesome. I'm amazing." And I might be feeling really bad. I might be feeling really sick. And I got a sore back. And I'm tired. And I'm sick of the kids that gave me hell in period two. In the next class, I'm very tempted to say, "You're right, you lot. I got hell last period. And if you don't toe the line, I'm warning you." You know, I could put that out there. Or I could say, "You beautiful people, it's wonderful to see your smiling faces again." I'm one of those rare and gifted teachers that has the ability to know how intelligent you are just by looking at you. And it gives me great pleasure to announce you're all exceptionally intelligent and amazingly good looking. And they'll go, "Oh, oh, 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 oh." I say, "This is the best class in the school. It's the worst class in the school." So they're really shocked. They're looking at me. "This is the best class in the school. I'm so glad I ended up with you guys today." Gratefulness, see? Thankfulness. Hey, I got a class. I could be without a job, but I got a class. I'm grateful for that. Even if they are the rat bags, and they give me the rat bags because they know I can somehow quell the riot. Okay. So listen to this class. Listen. Everybody's listening. What are we listening for? Do they listen? Everything's quiet, just like this. Amazing. Right now, this is the best class in the whole school. I mean, is there any other class as quiet as this class right now? Listen. And you can hear a pin drop. See? That's right now. I don't mean last period. I mean right now, this is the best class in the whole school. And it's true for that split moment, that split second. And you start to call things that are not as though they are. You can put your spirit out there. You can create the atmosphere you live in. You can create the atmosphere you work in with your words. Your words are death, or your words are life. And you can create your environment. You get to choose what sort of a world you live in by speaking words. Someone say amen. Amen. Right. So let's be good stewards, people, of heaven. Hold me, heaven, hold me, heaven, hold me now. Your words will hold your world together in peace and harmony, or you can create hell all around you by sharing the language of the heathen. Nope. Any dead fish can float downstream. We're going upstream, people, with positive words, words of gratitude, words of thankfulness for our Prime Minister, for our government, for our country, for everything. Amen. I'm not going to get through all of this, so next time you want me to preach, honey, just let me know, because I'm quarter way through my sermon. Adding faith to our prayers. Philippians 4, 6, 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. When we pray, we're supposed to be thankful as we pray. It says, let your request be made known to God with thanksgiving. Have you ever wondered why? I'll tell you why. Because without faith, which pleases God, without faith, God doesn't answer the prayer, because it's unto your faith, be it unto you according to your faith. Now, if you were to rehearse a victory, something that really worked, you asked God for something and God showed up. Woo! That was fantastic. If you were meditating on that just before you asked him for the next thing you needed, what would that do to your faith? Would that help you? Of course it would help you. So listen, don't pray for something without first rehearsing something that you've already seen God do for you. Never, never pray for something you don't have hope for. You just undermine your own faith. Don't pray for something unless you're absolutely convinced God is going to give it to you. Because he won't, if you're not absolutely convinced he's going to give it to you. You're wasting your time. I'm sorry, that's the truth. That's what the Bible says. If any of you have faith and does not doubt in his heart, if we doubt, there's no assurance that anything's going to be answered at all. Now, I'm not saying we can't spend time meditating in his presence and going over his promises and getting to that place where we build our faith to the full assurance, and then we know, then that's the time to pray. But, you know, to pray without hope, well that's just not going to do anything, which is why 90% of our prayers go unanswered, because we're not praying right. You know, if we were to do what the Bible says and pray with thanksgiving, we would be rehearsing all the victories of the past. Oh, God, I remember when I prayed before about that and you came through for me. God, I remember when so-and-so was sick and I prayed for them and they got healed. God, I remember when I was desperate for some finance and you showed up just from an amazing source. God, I remember when I asked you to, whoa, God, thank you. God, you really do answer prayer. You're just amazing. Oh, and God, I need this right now. And you've got all this which you've just rehearsed. And your faith is riding on an all-time high. But you know what we do? We end up in a difficult situation and all we can see is the problem and things are going bad for us and we've been taking a bit of a hiding and finances are low and the kids are screaming mad and, you know, you're just depressed and you're sick and, oh, geez, you know, you're really scraping the bottom of the barrel and you lift your head from the pit of hell and you say, God, and there's no faith in the prayer. But if you just cast your mind back to a couple of victories, you've all got one or two, I know you do. And even if it's just a little victory, it's better than nothing. And if you're faithful with that, if you steward thanksgiving for that answer to prayer, let me just say this one more time. I think that's the real key for this whole service. If you just steward thanksgiving for that answer, even if it's only a partial answer, woo! Let's celebrate that. Let's celebrate that. Yeah? Let's celebrate progress. Let's just laugh at perfectionism right now, shall we? I don't know anybody who gets 100% answer to prayer. I don't know anybody who's 100% perfect in their Christian walk. I don't know anybody who's got it all together. Everything, their kids, their family, their business, their work and ministry. You know, you can't win a war on all fronts. You know, sometimes you got to let that go to fix that. And then you go and sort that out and then that starts to slip a bit. You know, it's like, it's just difficult to juggle all the balls of life, isn't it? And don't judge your winter in one area of life with somebody else's summer in that same area. You know, because they might be struggling in some other area of life. Don't go comparing your winter with someone else's summer. That'll just depress you. Celebrate your progress. You're doing just great. Hey, you're enjoying God more than you used to. Hey, you might not be praying by kneeling by your bedside like you used to, but you're having much more of a conversational relationship with God as you go through the day, and He's much happier about that. There's a much better flow of mercy and grace and love, and that's like a real relationship. It's the Abba, Daddy, Father. You know, it's like that's all prayer is. It's relationship. It's conversation with God. You're doing that a whole lot more than you used to. Hey, be encouraged. And you're seeing some answers to prayer. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. By the renewing of our mind. And what you focus on goes a long way towards producing joy in your heart or unbelief and doubt and unforgiveness in your heart. So think about the good stuff. Think about the good things that God's doing in your life. And we'll call it quits there. And the rest of this, I'll share with you some other time. Did you learn something this morning? You know, you remember 20% of what you hear, about 30% of what you read, and about 80% of what you do, which is why I got you all to share something positive. So take that with you this week, and remember to worship God with the language of heaven. And not the language of hell, which is complaining. And by the way, I'm not aware of anybody who's complaining. Sometimes, you know, preachers get up and preach and the congregation thinks, oh, he's gunning for somebody. I'm not gunning for anybody. I think you're all doing amazing. I haven't heard anybody complain. I don't know why I preached that this morning. I just did. But let's be good stewards of what God's done for us and be thankful. Amen. Father, we love you. We're going to be so grateful for what you've done for us and for what you're about to do for us. Everyone said amen. All right, love on someone. Have another cup of tea. What a great service. I enjoyed that.